We're looking at the transformational leader, and now we turn to the divine imprint. Here are some passages that refer to that. You created my inmost being, the psalmist says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And then what Paul says in Romans 12 and 3, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. In talking about the divine imprint, we need to remember the bad news. And the bad news is that there is a code of the street. But there are clues that tell us that before the code of the street, something else happened. And we talked about that earlier in my own history with Montessori discovering that God is at work in people, that God has created people uniquely. Jimmy and then Raquel and the discoveries that took place from spending time with them. And so we began to figure out where God is in the motivation question. In the beginning, before youth were ignored or labeled or pressed by the code of the street, God created the heavens and the earth. So what's the secret to motivating urban youth? It's tapping into their divine imprint, the image of God. So let's take a little bit of time and look at what is the image of God. The theological center of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is the declaration of man as the image bearer of God. He's central in that passage. God has created everything else, but when he comes to mankind, mankind is special and unique. And he says, you're created. He created in my image. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. If you look at Job, and you want to know what motivated Job toward a life of righteousness and justice, look at this verse in Job 31. If I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? That motivated him. He knew that God had created him and them the same. Now, let's talk about what is the image of God. How do we describe the image of God? Peter May, he is involved with, I forget the name of the website, but it is an outgrowth of what Francis Schaeffer did in Le Brie. But as he studied it, he says God's reflection, the image of God is God's reflection as seen in six distinctive characteristics of humanity. We express the image of God in six unique ways. First of all, creative. Mankind reflects the creative capacity of God. We are not God, and yet we reflect his capacity. Mankind is capable of original and creative ideas. Intelligent. The mind of God that lies behind the creation is reflected, albeit in very small measure, in mankind's capacity for understanding and rational thought. Man is capable, unlike the animals, of pondering the meaning of existence, the significance of actions, and the prospects of destiny. Intelligence. And then there's aesthetics. God is not only a great artist who has fashioned a beautiful creation, but He has given mankind the capacity to appreciate great beauty. Have you ever listened to a song, a popular song, and have you ever thought, wow, that really is a beautiful song? Say, wait a minute, it's really beautiful, and I don't think the person who put it together is a Christian. And yet, tremendous beauty. That is a reflection of the image of God. Another is moral. The human conscience is a major aspect of humanity. Paul's description of the internal dilemma of battling good and evil in Romans 7 is a distinctive human phenomena. Mankind wrestles with moral choices. Then, relational. The dominant theme of human existence is relationships. Life, in a word, is about love. So mankind struggles to understand the source and meaning of love, which can only be found in God through Christ. And then finally, as it has been throughout the ages, is how we are designed. We are incurably religious, spiritual. We are spiritual. We were created to worship something. If we do not worship God, then we will worship something or someone else. Now, the power of the image. The power of imagery is in what it reflects. Images may be hazy or clear, distorted or accurate, but whatever their attributes, they do not exist on their own. Beyond the image lies a reality. In this case, the reality of God. The image of God in mankind not only helps self-perception, it also reveals God to us. Charles Feinberg did a study on the image of God. And of all the relevant passages that he looked at, Feinberg asserts the Genesis account is the key. But he raises three questions regarding the image of God. First, of what specifically does the image of God consist? What is the image of God? And then secondly, what effect did sin and the fall of mankind have on this image? And then third, what effect does the redemptive work of Christ have on the image of God? Well, for the first question, we've already gone over it. The six distinctive characteristics of humanity. That is what the image of God consists of. Being creative, intelligent, aesthetic, moral, relational, and spiritual. So in Genesis 1:26, we find that mankind is the apex of all creation, possesses a special nature far superior to and never duplicated in lower animals, and is distinctive in his dominion over the rest of creation. Secondly, what is the effect of sin on the image of God? Okay. Nowhere does the Bible indicate that the divine image and likeness are lost due to sin. This is an important point. Man's nature still reflects the work and creation of God. And you look at these various scriptures, all reflect that our nature reflects the image and creation of God, even though we are not saved. Again, going back to the illustration of the musician that can create great music but not have a relationship with God. Fallen man is still man. While marred, corrupted, and in an impaired state, Feinberg says, mankind has not been shorn of its humanity. So, the effect of sin, marred. The image is marred, but it is not destroyed. It is not gone away. Now, what about redemption and the image of God? When the New Testament refers to the new creation, it speaks of the restoration of the image. Anyone found in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This is the central emphasis in Pauline anthropology. So, regeneration and sanctification renew the believer after the image of his or her Creator. And so God has predestined the redeemed to be conformed to the image of Christ. Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might have first place. Now, how does the divine imprint impact youth leadership, transformational youth leadership? Well, first, we must recognize something. Of all the potential motivating drivers in life, arguably none is more powerful than to be who you were created to be, experiencing in your own person the fullness of God's creation. This is important. As leaders discipled by Jesus, we are increasingly being transformed to reflect the image of God. For those who are not yet disciples, the capacity to be creative, intelligent, aesthetic, moral, relational, and spiritual is still there, even though marred by sin. As transformational leaders, our mission is to lead youth toward the discovery of who they are in Christ. So, key points. We're created in the image of God. That image is a reflection of six distinct characteristics of humanity. We reflect those uniquely. There are no two people alike. That's the beauty of God's creation. So each young person you work with has a divine imprint, a unique divine imprint. When the New Testament refers to the new creation, it speaks of the restoration of the image. Again, of all the potential motivating drivers in life, none is more powerful than to be who you were created to be, experiencing in your person the fullness of God's creation. When we help our young people discover who they are in Christ, God's incredible love for them, as we work to help them see what God had in mind when He created them, it is a powerful motivator. This is the answer to the question that John Perkins asked me years ago. How do we build incentive in our youth? This is how we do it. The divine imprint.